वासुदेवाय Our assigned reading today is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, the 25th chapter, text 9 through 13, and in honor of the fact that it is the auspicious appearance day of Sita Thakurani, from section, this is Advaitacharya's consult, Advaitacharya's wife. So, this is the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is it?
Yeah.
So the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'll start from here. It's a little information about Sita Thakurani. How exalted she was that she actually, even in the prayer, Sita is mentioned with Advaitacharya in the Sri Advaita Sita. So she made it right into that pranam mantra there. So she's quite an exalted personality. It says, one day, shortly after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaitacharya's wife, Sita Devi, who was worshipable by the whole world, taking permission of her husband, went to see that topmost child with all kinds of gifts and presentations. She brought different kinds of golden ornaments, including bangles for the hand, armlets, necklaces, and anklets. There were also tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk and lace, ornaments for the hands and legs, nicely printed silken saris, and a child's garment also made of silk. Many other riches, including gold and silver coins, were also presented to the child. Then Prabhupada said, from the gifts presented by Sita Thakurani, Advaitacharya's wife, it appears that Advaitacharya was at that time a very rich man. So then it goes on and says, riding on a palanquin covered with cloth and accompanied by maidservants, Sita Thakurani came to the house of Jagannath Mishra, bringing with her many auspicious articles such as fresh grass, paddy, gocharan, turmeric, kumkum, and sandalwood. All these presentations filled a large basket. When Sita Thakurani came to the house of Sachi Devi, bringing with her many kinds of edibles, dresses, and other gifts, she was astonished to see the newly born child, for she appreciated that except for a difference in color, the child was directly Krishna of Gokul himself. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs and resembling a form of gold, Sita Thakurani was very much pleased, and because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart were melting. She blessed the newly born child by placing fresh grass and paddy on his head and saying, may you be blessed with a long duration of life. But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name Nimai. So it's actually Sita Thakurani that was responsible for naming Lord Chaitanya Nimai Pandit. Great soul, worshipable by the whole world. And today is her most auspicious appearance day. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam now. We're reading a few chapters, and just to make life easier, maybe we can chant the verses together until we get to the last one, and which is text 13, and then we can chant responsively. Okay, text 9. Vidyo tamana vidyudbhi sananta sanatya yinubhi Tivrayar Marudganayar Nuna Vavrasur Jalasarkara, propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones. Purport. Chilashudhara Swami explains that the word Marud Ganai indicates the seven great winds, such as Avaha, who presides over the region of Burvaloka, and Pravaha, who holds the planets in their places. Text 10. Stuna Stula Varshadhara Munchadvereshabhikshasa Jalagnai Plavyamanabur Nadrishyata Natotamam. As the clouds released torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the earth was submerged in the flood, and high ground could no longer be distinguished from the low. Text 11. Atyashrativatena pashavo jatavepana gopa gopyascha sitarta govindam sharanam vayu. The cows and other animals shivering from the excessive rain and wind, and the cowherd men and ladies pained by the cold, all approached Lord Govinda for shelter. Shira sutangs chakayena prachadya sharapitika vepamana bhagavata padmamulam upayayu. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall and trying to cover their heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And together, text 13, I'll chant one line, you chant one line, and then we'll chant responsively. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Vanatam Gokulam Prabho. Pratum Arasi Devana. Kupita Bhaktavatsala. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga.
Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga.
Svanatam Gokulam
Prabho.
Pratum Arasi Devana. Kupita Bhaktavatsala. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga.
Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga.
Svanatam Gokulam Prabho.
Svanatam Gokulam
Prabho. Pratum Arasi Devana. Kupita Bhaktavatsala. Vaishnavas. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Svanatam Gokulam Prabho. Ratam Arasi Devana. Kupita Bhaktavatsala. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Svanatam Gokulam Prabho. Pratam Arasi Devana. Kupita Bhaktavatsala. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Svanatam Gokulam Prabho. Pratam Arasi Devana. Kupita Bhaktavatsala. Vaishnavi.
Krishna
Krishna Mahabhaga. Svanatam Gokulam Prabho. Pratam Arasi Devana. Sabhidat Bhaktavatsalam. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Sanatam Gokulam Prabhu. Atam Arasi Devanam. Kupitad Bhaktavatsala. Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Oh Krishna Krishna.
Oh Krishna Krishna.
Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
Oh all fortunate one.
Oh all fortunate one.
Tatnatam.
Tatnatam.
Whose master is yourself.
Whose master is
yourself. Gokulam.
Gokulam.
The community of cows.
The community of cows.
Prabhu. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Tratam.
Arasi,
kindly protect
Devat
from the demigod Indra.
Us,
Kupitad,
who is angry.
Bhaktavatsala,
oh
you who are very affectionate to your devotees. The cow, translation, the cow heard men and women address the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees, please save us also. Purport. At the time of Lord Krishna's birth, this purport, by the way, is pretty much verbatim, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. At the time of Lord Krishna's birth, Garga Muni had predicted, Anena Sarva Dorgani Yulyam Anjas Tarishyata, Bhagavatam 10.8.16. By his grace, you will easily cross beyond all difficulties. The residents of Vrindavan were confident that in such a great emergency, Lord Sri Narayan would empower Krishna to protect them. They accepted Krishna as everything, and Krishna reciprocated their love. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vijaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jinayana Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Jitani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasthaya Sarasatani Nukam Kavitavacaya Tangam Mangala Kavitavi Nakri Sattama Mahamadari Sri Vedanta Namaste So I wanted to read, well, first of all, these verses, now that we're talking about the rain and the falling, you know, you can't help but think of that song that everybody used to sing in the Gurukula. I know, I'm not going to sing it. She can sing it. Yeah, these residents in Vrindavan, their only shelter was Krishna. And so when distress came, it's interesting that they followed his instruction, right? He gave them some instruction to ignore a puja that they had done traditionally for many, many years, for eons. And they, on his order, neglected to worship Indra. And now Indra was mad at them, and so they were suffering. But they didn't come to him and say, see, Krishna, we told you so. Look what you did. You know, you made this big mess, and now look what's happening. Vrindavan's flooded, and the cows are in danger. No, they didn't consider any kind of placing of blame. But rather, they considered that their only shelter was Krishna. And it's also interesting to note that they thought of Krishna as an ordinary boy. They thought of him as their most lovable friend, but they didn't think of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You notice in this purport, it said that the residents of Vrindavan were confident that in such a great emergency, Lord Sri Narayan would empower Krishna to protect them. So they were thinking, because Garga Muni had given them a rather cryptic astrological reading, He had told them, I'll read it to you, from Prabhupada's purport. It's quoted here, the first line, but the rest of it. To increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokul, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only you will surpass all difficulties. And then in Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada talks about specifically the words Narayana Sama, which mean as good as Narayan. So Narayan is unequal. There's nobody who is Narayan except Narayan and Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. But Garga Muni told the residents of Vrindavan that by your good fortune, this boy who is good as Narayan, and Prabhupada later says almost as good as Narayan, he will protect you from everything. So wherever he is, they'll be all auspiciousness. And this isn't the only time. There are a couple of pastimes where the residents assumed that Narayan was protecting Krishna. So many demons came, but somehow Narayan always protected Krishna. And even Narayan was protecting Krishna. Also, Mother Jasoda was chanting mantras to protect Krishna. And she was doing different rituals to protect Krishna. Prabhupada explains that even his mother, she wore a glove on one of her hands until she took a vow to wear a glove, I think, on her left hand until her son asked her why she was wearing it. So that was quite a few years because, you know, you have to get old enough to ask the question. So he got old, and she did that to protect him, to bring auspiciousness. I know Mother Sukada for years has been chanting the prayers to the children given in the Bhagavatam to protect her children. And many, many different mothers do different things. Mother Jasoda put cow urine and cow dust and cow dung on Krishna to give him auspiciousness, even though he was as good as Narayan. So they didn't think of him that way. They thought of Krishna as their most lovable friend. And this is the key to attaining this most exalted position of pure devotional service for Krishna. That we only think of Krishna and Krishna's welfare, and we don't think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because as soon as we think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, well, there's two things that happen. One thing that happens is we come out with a shopping list or a list of things that we want to have taken care of. And so that's a problem, because that inhibits, needless to say, pure devotional service. But there's another problem in that awe and reverence, and Shesha Prabhu was talking about that when he gave class the other day. This conception of awe and reverence gets in the way of that feeling of possessiveness that's necessary for being Krishna's parent or being Krishna's well-wisher, that mamata, as he was speaking of. That Krishna is mine. He's my responsibility. I have to take care of him. But still, even though they had that attitude, when the going got really tough, they turned to Krishna. And they turned to Krishna at so many different times, in so many different ways. Throughout the Bhagavatam, we see this morning I was listening to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and he was talking about Prahlad Maharaj, and how Prahlad Maharaj was able, even though he was tiny, tiny, and Nrisingadev was very, very big, and very scary, especially when Prahlad Maharaj approached him, he was even more scary because he was covered with blood and intestines, and he had Hiranyakashipu who had been bifurcated laying on his lap. It's a pretty gory scene. Actually, by that time he had been thrown on the floor, but still the remnants of his existence were laying on his lap. And so if you saw that situation, you wouldn't be inclined to kind of walk over and cuddle up. But Prahlad Maharaj, he saw it differently. He saw, this is my Lord. All of the other, even Lakshmi and the other demigods that were present, very exalted personalities, they were afraid to approach Nrisingadev. They had never seen a form like that, such a huge form. And still, they were afraid to approach him. But Prahlad Maharaj, he wasn't afraid. He saw that this is my worshipable Lord. I depended on him for protection. He protected me in so many ways. He caught me when I fell. He, you know, made the food that was poisoned not poisoned. And even though they chindy-biddy chopped me up and pierced me, still they couldn't hurt me. The elephants, they couldn't crush me. The snakes, they couldn't bite me. The boiling water couldn't boil me. So this is just another form of Krishna, and he protected me. And so he wasn't feeling any fear. He went before the Lord, and in a very humble way, he approached him. And Krishna, Prabhupada was describing how Krishna, seeing this little boy who had been through so much and still retained his loving affection for Krishna, didn't ask Krishna for anything, didn't even ask Krishna to protect him, actually. But seeing this boy, his heart became soft. Krishna, Prabhupada described that it's natural that the heart, when you see a little child, and this little child has a sincere love for you, then immediately upon coming in contact with that child, and just seeing him, you immediately, that loving affection is invoked. And so happened with Nisringadev. Even though Lord Nisringadev didn't look like the warm, cuddly type, that mood in him was evoked by Prahlad Maharaj's presence. And so he was received with a pat on the head, an affectionate pat on the head. Those same nails, that same hand who had ripped apart Hiranyakashipu was now patting Prahlad Maharaj on the head and offering him benedictions. And then what did Prahlad Maharaj ask for? That his father would be treated nicely. Who can understand, right? The devotees. So here we have the residents of Vrindavan. They're faced with extreme danger. It's actually explained a little later on that from the time that Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill, he also dried up the water of the rain as soon as it hit the ground. So here it's described that you couldn't see the difference between high land and low land because there were floods. But as soon as he lifted up the hill, the floods went away. And everything was very beautiful, even outside of the hill. They wouldn't have gotten wet even if they were outside of the hill. But they went into the hill, and it was an arrangement made so that they could stare at Krishna for 7 days and 7 nights. And Krishna was very happy to reciprocate with their loving feeling. And that was what saved Indra, really, that fact that arrangement happened mitigated Krishna's anger towards him. So they approached Krishna, and it's interesting again to note that they asked him to save the cows first. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagadhitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. And when I was listening to Prabhupada, from this verse, Prabhupada was saying, forget the cow, forget the brahmanas. Krishna was more concerned with the cows. And so you see that reflected in the purport here, that they ask, save the cows, and then if you can, save us too. You know, because after all, we're devotees, and you're a dear friend of your devotees, so save us too. Just think the faith, the power of their faith, the love that they had for Krishna, and the confidence they had that Krishna loved them too. So that loving exchange of Krishna with his devotees, we see again and again in our experience with Krishna in the various relationships that we come in contact with, just like Arjuna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the first time we see Krishna is when he's a chariot driver, Bhaktivatsala. And here again, Bhaktivatsala. And the mouth of Agasura, Bhaktivatsala. And the Kaliya serpent, Bhaktivatsala. And so many times we see Krishna as exhibiting that feature of being the most dear friend, of understanding what's in the core of the heart and reciprocating with the devotees accordingly. So if we can cultivate that realization that Krishna is our most dear friend, then just acting in that way, that Krishna is our most dear friend, we actually have to forget that Krishna is God. So right now, we are very much trying to remember that Krishna is God. We forget, but we don't forget the right way. Right? We forget Krishna is God, and we think the material energy is the source of our pleasure. And so that's a different kind of forgetfulness. That's Mahamaya, or material energy forgetfulness. It's not Yogamaya, spiritual forgetfulness. We want to forget that Krishna is God, but remember him all the time. We want to forget Krishna is God, but we want to remember the personality of Krishna all the time. We want to remember his pastimes. We want to remember his loving exchanges all the time. We want to keep them in our mind all the time. But now we forget Krishna is a God and we forget Krishna. Right? We forget Krishna altogether. It's not just we forget he's God, we just forget about him. And then we replace that loving exchange with other exchanges, with other things that we try to fill up our heart with. But this, the definition of pure devotional service is that we have to come to that loving relationship with Krishna where we don't think of anything else. And everything we do is done with Krishna in the center. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karma anavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam. That everything is done for Krishna, and everything is done with Krishna in the center. Everything. Even if I'm serving my mother, and I'm serving my father, I'm serving my children, I'm serving the deities, I'm serving the temple, I'm cutting the garden, I'm serving the animals, the cows, the horses, the mules, whatever, I'm doing that service, but Krishna is in the center. I never forget Krishna. I'm going to work to make money, to support my family, but it's all centered around Krishna. It's all centered around Krishna, that my family will serve Krishna, that the center of our household will be Krishna consciousness, that the activity in our lives will be Krishna. Prabhupada talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita when he says that he's describing one of those lists of qualities of the devotees, I think in the 13th chapter, and he says that, you know, freedom from attachment to house, wife, children, and the rest. And then Prabhupada explains in the purport that if the husband and wife sit down together every day and chant Hare Krishna, and they center their lives around Krishna, then household life becomes glorious. Actually, it's described that Lakshmi Narayan live in the house of auspicious householders, of householders who have Krishna in the center of their lives. So we want to forget Krishna is God, but we want to remember Krishna all the time. We want to remember his leelas. We want to sing his songs. We want to embrace him and serve him in so many different ways. And the more we come to that level of just focusing on serving him, not approaching him to ask for anything, then we come closer to that stage of pure devotional service. Now here, we've got these cowherd men and women and residents of Vrindavan who have such a loving relationship with Krishna, they're asking Krishna to save them. So what's going on here? Prahlad Maharaj didn't ask Krishna to save him. Actually, Prabhupada was talking when he said that Prahlad didn't have to ask Krishna to save him because Krishna is already in his heart. He already knew what he wanted. So it wasn't necessary to ask. So then why these residents, these Brijvasis, are asking Krishna to save him? So it's explained by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion that anyabhilasita, that the devotional service to Krishna is free from any desire except those that come naturally with the material body. We can't avoid it. We can't avoid wanting to stay alive. And these devotees, these cowherd men and women, it's described later, we'll see, that the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani, when Krishna left Vrindavan, they were almost dead. They were almost dead. And it's described that they were almost dead, and they didn't die, even though Radharani kept asking, how am I staying alive? How can I stay alive? The residents of Vrindavan, who like Uddhava and Balaram, who saw them and went back to Krishna, said, they're just about to die. They're just about dead. But they didn't die. And when Radharani was asked, how is it you're staying alive? Her response was, I'm staying alive because if I died, Krishna would become unhappy. So even the fact that I'm maintaining my life thinking Krishna will become unhappy if I die. So I feel like dying because Krishna is not here. But Krishna's happiness is contingent on my life, so therefore I'm living. So the residents of Vrindavan, they understand that Krishna, he can't live without the cows. He loves his cows. If you go ever to Tir Kadamba, I don't know how many of you have ever gone to Tir Kadamba. There's one little Baba there, nice devotee of Krishna. And he explains how Krishna, with his flute, he calls each of the cows by name. Each of the cows, he calls them by name by a certain flute tune. So he says, this is Krishna's cell phone, that he plays these numbers, each cow's personal pager number. And maybe it's the beginning of Twitter. Twitter, is that what it is? So the precursor to Twitter, that Krishna plays on his flute, and each cow, he knows each cow by name, and each cow is only looking at him, and each cow is only thinking of him, and he's so concerned for the welfare of the cows that even when Mother Jasoda said to him, you know, you're going out into the forest, and there's prickers in the forest, you're going to hurt your feet, you're going to walk on this ground, and there'll be problems. I don't know if they have red ants. They have everything in the spiritual village. They have red ants. So then they'll hurt your feet. What, you should wear shoes. So Krishna's answer was, well, if I'm going to wear shoes, then all my cows, they also have to wear shoes. So you figure that's a few million cows and then four shoes on each foot. That's a lot of shoes. So Mother Jasoda let him go without shoes. So he was going, but he was caring so much for the cows that they would have proper care, that they would be taken care of. And so the residents of Vrindavan, considering Krishna's happiness, said, do something, your cows are in danger, and then you can save us too, maybe. Because also they were very dear to Krishna. We're your devotees, and your devotees are always very dear to you. So please save us also. So we can depend on Krishna in our life and in our afterlife, after this body leaves its mortal frame in this material world. We can count on establishing that loving relationship with Krishna and coming to that understanding that Krishna is our most lovable friend. When I first read this purport, I was taken back to another play. I guess I think in plays and dramas. But I was thinking of the play of Bilva Mangal Thakur. And Bilva Mangal Thakur, I think I spoke about him in another class, very inspirational person in devotional life. And he went to Vrindavan as a blind person. He walked to Vrindavan. And when he got to Vrindavan, he was feeling kind of, he didn't know he was in Vrindavan because he couldn't see anything. He just walked and he followed direction. But when he got to Vrindavan, a cowherd boy was there to greet him. And that cowherd boy was meeting him on a regular basis, day by day, coming and chanting bhajan with him. There's even some Brijbasi poster of Krishna sitting with Bilva Mangal Thakur, and they're chanting together. But when Bilva Mangal Thakur was sitting with Krishna, he didn't know that Krishna was Krishna. Krishna knew that Krishna was Krishna. And he knew that Bilva Mangal was looking for Krishna. But Bilva Mangal didn't know that Krishna was Krishna. But he developed such a loving relationship with this person that he thought was just a simple cowherd boy living in Vrindavan, that he couldn't think of anything else. 24/7 he was thinking of this little boy. And he was even questioning himself, what's going on here? Why am I developing so much attachment for this little boy? I should be thinking of Krishna. But he couldn't get his mind off of Krishna. And finally, it was in the drama, the exchange is that Krishna tells him a story. He says, you know something about Krishna. You live in Vrindavan. You must know something about Krishna. Tell me something about Krishna. And so Krishna tells him a story about Krishna. And Krishna tells him a story about how Mother Jasoda would get him ready in the morning, and the boys would be standing waiting impatiently for Mother Jasoda to be finished decorating Krishna so that he could come out and play. And the boys were asking, can we help? Can we do something? Is there something we can do? So Mother Jasoda said, yes, Vishala, come and put the ankle bells on Krishna's ankles. And so as Vishala was putting the ankle belt on Krishna's ankles, Krishna hit him on the head with his flute. And then Krishna laughed and he said, they did not think of Krishna as God. They thought of him as their most lovable friend. And Bilba Mango Gatakwa hears that those words, most lovable friend. And he realizes that that's how he's been relating to this person, as his most lovable friend. And that moment he realizes, this is Krishna. So that's how our devotion comes about. Not by asking Krishna for things, not by even asking for Krishna to do things for us, but by rather just developing a loving relationship of service to Krishna. And by doing that service, we become dear to Krishna, and Krishna becomes dear to us. And within our heart, that love starts to grow. And it's spontaneous, and it's natural, because it's already there. It just becomes manifest. So these residents of Vrindavan, we'll read about more and more. This Leela goes on for two more chapters. But Krishna is most dear to them, and they are most dear to him. So they will worry about him. You'll see when he's holding up the hill, they're a little worried that he might get tired or his arm might get hurt. And Madhu Mangal goes, tries to help him hold up the hill, and Krishna lets go for a second, and the hill, okay, you better hold up the hill. And all the cowherd boys with their sticks are trying to hold up the hill. And everybody's trying to help each other, but it's a loving reciprocation that is based on a natural affection between Krishna and his devotees. So I'll stop there, and if there's any questions, I can try to answer. Yes.
This highest understanding of, you know, the love and residence in Vrindavan. But my question is, Prabhupada also taught us when we worship the deities, we should worship the deities in awe and reverence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, present opulent offerings and dressed and very kind, nicely as we do here. And, you know, I'm from Hawaii, and Panchatattva, I notice, you know, when we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we worship him as householder,
mm-hmm.
You know, and on reverence. So, mm-hmm. On one hand, you're talking how we have to see Krishna as our best friend, but Prabhupada also taught us through deity worship that because neophytes like myself, this on reverence is necessary to advance to that higher stage.
It's a very good point. It's not an artificial action to see Krishna as our most lovable friend. It's something that develops over time. And we act according to the requirements. This is called sadhana bhakti, riding sadhana bhakti. And Prabhupada explains that even the most intimate associates of Chaitanya, of Krishna, when in a public place, or when in a situation which they're setting an example, so even if we were to achieve that, one of us, some of us, I don't know who, has that position, still, to teach others and to maintain the standard, the requirement would be to engage in devotional service with awe and reverence, with respect. And that respect is necessary. However, when the loving relationship comes in the heart, it's a natural thing. And like you see some of the Goswamis, right? Which one is it? Radharaman Jiva Goswami? Yes. Jiva Goswami, he had the Shalagram Shila, and someone gave him some cloth, and he was lamenting, how is it I can offer this cloth? Well, I can't. All the other Goswamis, they're worshipping deities, and, you know, I don't have. And Sanatana Goswami also, no salt. You want salt? I'm an old man. How am I going to salt? So it comes naturally, though. It's not artificial, and we're not at that stage. So Prabhupada cautioned us again and again to deal with the deity with awe and reverence. And to follow the rules. The rules are there to keep us within boundaries. I was talking once to one pujari at Radharaman, and he was telling me that even there, you know, everything is very, very strictly regulated. Everything is done in meticulous order. Everything is always in the same place. And every now and again, they completely switch everybody that takes care of the deity, including the treasurer and the president and the pujari and everything, One family or group of families comes in and another group of families leave. And that's, they do that in Udupi too, that different mats take care of the deities at different times and they completely switch over everything. So he was saying, and we have it so regulated, so neat, and everything is so in its place that they can walk in and take over, no problem. They know where everything is, they know exactly what to do, they know the mantras, they know the standard, they know everything. And I said, well, does everybody dress him the same? Does everybody, he doesn't look the same all the time. And he said, that's Bob. That's the relation. The private relationship is like, you see, the deities, even though we worship them with honor and reverence, every time the curtains open, it's different. Every time the curtains open, you look and you want to see who dressed today. I think it's so-and-so's style. And who made the garlands? And, oh, I like that. You know, so we're already developing. By taking care of Krishna in awe and reverence, we're developing simultaneously love for him and seeing him as a person. And the pujari is worried, will Krishna eat? The cook is worried, will Krishna eat? I have to feed Krishna. I have to make his garland. I have to make sure he doesn't get stuck with pins. And, you know, so many different things. It's a marriage. And we gradually move. And some of us will stay in awe and reverence. And be totally happy there. I was just discussing that with one devotee that, you know, we talk because we have to understand, just like Shesha Prabhu is studying Nectar of Devotion, and, you know, there's so many different levels of this and that, and, you know, all the Sanskrit words that describe them all, and I don't know very many of them, and how the progression of loving service comes in the greater and the greatest and the perfect and the most perfect and the more perfect and the perfect-est. But still, wherever we are, even if it's a cow, we'll love being a cow. And we'll be so happy being a cow. And the gopis were envious of the flute, the bamboo flute, the bamboo on the bank of the river. They were envious of those parents because they had given birth to the child who became Krishna's flute and was always next to his lips. So we will be happy wherever we are in relation to Krishna ultimately. Is that okay? Yes.
About that, to help me anyway, that there's a pail and then there's a thimble. You can fill them both with water and they're both full and they're both happy. Mm-hmm. Right. I thought that was kind of nice. Right. But then you just said that the gopis were envious of the bamboo.
Transcendentally envy.
Okay, so they didn't really want to become a flute.
Well,
they're happy being gopis.
I don't know if they wanted to become a flute or not, but they didn't want the flute not to be a flute. Envy means I want to push you down and to elevate myself. I want to take your position away so that I can enjoy it. They didn't. I mean, they did want a Krishna flute.
Another quick question.
Not like that one.
You're saying that we may stay in awe and reverence and be perfectly happy that way. But I think Prabhupada wants us to move on. I mean, he's given us Rupa Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They've all given us so much more information.
Yeah, they've given us a lot of information. But wherever we are, we are. And I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, Rupa Goswami prayed, let me be a blade of grass. Lord Chaitanya, let me be, you know, so many devotees pray, let me, just so the devotees can walk over me. Right? So, whatever. Thank you very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.